KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinneen, and it's 8:02. Jared Walker from Kotzebue was found safe and well yesterday afternoon. Alaska State Trooper spokesperson Megan Peters says he was found approximately 7 miles northeast of Kiana in a creek bed. He is unharmed. Peters says a pilot who was flying in the area spotted Walker. Searchers on snow machines were then contacted and directed to the location. He was brought to Kiana. 28-year-old Jared Walker, also known as Barney, had been missing since Sunday. Troopers were notified that Walker had not arrived in Selawik after leaving Kiana at 4 o'clock that afternoon. Search and rescue teams from Kotzebue, Norvik, Kiana, and Selawik had been looking for Walker since. Two planes were flying as part of the search yesterday. Walker is a well-known snow machine racer in the area, having competed in the Iron Dog snow machine race, along with the Nome Gullivan snow machine race. Again, Walker was found yesterday afternoon safe and well. Alaska is just one of 7 states in the country that does not elect its attorney general. A constitutional amendment that's moving through the legislature would change that. During every legislature of the past decade, someone has introduced a measure that would put the office of attorney general up to a vote. It's been offered by Republicans. It's been pushed by Democrats. And every time, the idea has not gone anywhere. That is until now. Representative Bill Stoltz, a Chugiak Republican, is carrying the measure this time. He's actually getting hearings on it. On Tuesday, he told the House State Affairs Committee that it's an issue of accountability. If the attorney general is elected instead of appointed,
it would certainly sanctify that is the people's lawyer. Often the attorney generals call themselves that, but really in de facto, it's the governor's lawyer.
The attorney general is one of the most powerful offices in Alaska state government. As head of the Department of Law, the attorney general defends the state in court and makes recommendations on what statutes, regulations, and even citizens' initiatives are constitutional. Stoltz can think of a recent example of the attorney general exerting considerable influence over state policy. Last month, the current attorney general signed off on an opinion that an initiative to ban commercial set netting operations in the state's urban waters would be unconstitutional. Stoltz believes that if you have some control over what voters can decide, the voters should have some say in who's in that position.
That bothers me a little bit. Not the content of the initiative, but an assistant attorney general has more power than the people of Alaska.
While some members of the State Affairs Committee expressed support for the measure, there were questions and concerns. A couple of members of the committee wondered if the elected attorney general can lead to conflict between that office and the governor. But mostly members of the committee wondered if electing the attorney general would make the office overly political. Shelley Hughes, a Palmer Republican, couched her support for the measure with this caveat.
I value the intelligence of the citizens of Alaska and would hope and pray that it wouldn't become a beauty contest and a public speaking contest, which sometimes elections can be.
Stoltz says putting the office of attorney general to a vote would not make the position more political. It would just change who's playing politics. Because it's a constitutional amendment, the measure needs 2/3 approval from the legislature and a majority vote of Alaska's citizens. The Yukon Quest Race Organization held a press conference with Brent Sass yesterday morning. The musher discussed the accident that led to a serious concussion and took him out of this year's race. He was emotional but confident about the future of his mushing career. He told the audience that he'd let his dog team down.
I've always had ambitious schedules and always wanted to run a race like this race, and we were able to do it.
But he stands by his decision to press the help button on his GPS spot tracker after he fell from his sled and smacked his head on some lake ice.
No race, no win, nothing is worth sacrificing the health and well-being of myself or the dogs. So, or the credibility of the race as well. I mean, you have to think about all that when you're out there.
The 34-year-old says he's recovering well, but he still has a raging headache and numbness in his hands. He says the accident has forced him to reflect on what he can do differently.
I definitely feel like I wore myself out to the point where I was falling asleep on the back of the sled and could not help it. And those are the things that I have to change.
SAS's race strategy has him blowing through most checkpoints. During this year's race, he did not stop at a single checkpoint unless it was mandatory. Even though he admits he was not well-rested, he says he does not support the addition of more mandatory downtime on the trail.
If we were scheduled to have to stop at the checkpoints, I can't run the race that I just ran. And the only reason that I was competing with Alan Moore and Hugh Neff is because I was on a completely different schedule and I was blowing through the checkpoints. And Alan and I were leapfrogging the whole way. And I think it's amazing for me, it's amazing for Alan, it's amazing for the fans, the spectators, and the sport. And so I don't think that by giving more mandatory rest, it helps anything. I think as mushers, we have to do better.
SAS plans to wear a helmet when he's mushing for the rest of his life if it's comfortable and safe in sub-zero temperatures. He plans to run this year's Iditarod. That race is a little more than 2 weeks away. Yesterday, Bill Walker, a candidate for governor running as an independent, spoke to an audience at Airport Pizza as part of a two-day visit to Nome. Walker gave a brief speech on the issues that are important to his campaign. Chief among them was a renewed focus on the cost of energy in Alaska.
A huge concern I have is if we don't get the cost of energy down in Alaska, we can't afford to live here anymore. You know, we should have the cheapest energy in the nation, not the most expensive energy in the nation.
Walker has a long career working closely with the oil and gas industry, starting as a builder on the Trans-Alaska pipeline in Valdez, all the way to decades as a lawyer in Anchorage working on municipal energy issues. He stressed that recently, Alaska's energy policies have been misguided.
But I'm concerned we just don't have any leadership in Alaska. And then we're bowing to special interests, and we just gave away $40 billion to three companies and didn't ask for anything back in the way of oil tax or revenues. Half our people that work on the North Slope are from Lower 48. You know, they should be from here. They should be, our young people should be going up there and commuting back and forth to Nome, not back and forth to Nashville.
Walker was joined on the visit by Craig Fleener, who's campaigning to be lieutenant governor. Under Alaska's election rules, the governor and lieutenant governor run separate races, but Fleener and Walker are presenting themselves as a complementary pair with similar approaches grounded in differing areas of expertise. Fleener's background is split between his past military career and years working on wildlife management with the Department of Fish and Game, and he spent 16 years working as a member of the Council of Athabascan Tribal Governments. Fleener says he's intent on addressing the gap between the state of Alaska and Alaska Native communities.
We don't have a good relationship now. The state of Alaska and the tribes are typically at war with each other, and we'd like to get past that. We actually would like to get to the place where we are working together on issues, where we're working on resolving our problems together. And so one of the things that we're going to do immediately is sit down with tribes around the state and say, how can we improve our relationship?
In order for both candidates to get on the November ballot, they need to collect more than 3,000 signatures each. Both Walker and Fleener plan on spending the next few months traveling to different communities in order to learn more about issues across the state. The price of gold in New York up $2.20 an ounce to $1,294.10. An ounce of silver at $20.41 up 7 cents. It's currently 10 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock.